And you're listening to New Zealand's Rima on this Monday morning. The findings of a study about the 2011 devastating Japanese tsunami are shown to have some implications for us here in New Zealand. Now, Virginia Toy is from the Department of Geology at the University of Otago, and she was part of the Australian-New Zealand team that did that research. At the moment, she's in the middle of a field trip. Whereabouts are you, Virginia?
Just a little bit to the east of Ranfurly in the Maniatoto.
With a whole bunch of students.
Yep, 55 Otago University undergraduates learning to map geology. fortunately, my colleague is presently talking to the group, so I'm free to speak to you guys.
Great. So what were you actually studying in Japan?
The expedition that I went on, part of the Integrated Ocean Drilling Program, was trying to drill into the fault that slipped to generate the 2011 Tohoku Oki earthquakes, the ones that created this large tsunami that affected the Sendai coast so devastatingly.
And this is the way the seabed moves actually changes the nature of the wave, or if there's a wave at all, doesn't it?
Absolutely. The reason you have a tsunami resulting from an earthquake like that is that the ocean floor rises up in one place and drops down in another, displacing the water, and basically it creates a wave as a consequence of that. And that displacement of the ocean floor occurs because part of the ocean floor slides with respect to another part along a fault of some sort.
So yeah. How much movement did you find that there'd been there?
All right, so this particular earthquake was surprising, in fact, to the geologic community, because the seafloor displacement that we can see from looking at what are known as bathymetric surveys before and after the earthquake illustrates there was about 50 metres horizontal displacement.
Wow.
And maybe 10 metres vertical. Sure, it is wow, because our previous sort of thoughts on the kinds of displacements we're likely to see during earthquakes anywhere were much smaller than that. I mean, I work on the Alpine Fault Zone here in New Zealand, and we think that every close to magnitude 8 earthquake results in a slip increment of around 10 metres, not 50 metres.
just the sheer energy involved of moving, when you think how much it takes to move a concrete block, you know, a couple of metres, and then you multiply that by, I mean, the length of this, that the energy is huge.
Right. And do you realize that when we talk about earthquake magnitude, it's really a measure of that energy. And so so a large displacement like that really results in a large magnitude earthquake.
So what are the implications for us here in New Zealand?
What are the implications? New Zealand is got a lot of people living close to the coast, and we happen to be adjacent to the Pacific Ocean, and the Pacific Ocean is ringed by what are known as subduction zones. So that's where one tectonic plate is going down into the earth under another tectonic plate, somewhere in the oceans mostly, and these are where tsunami are generally generated by slip on faults. And we have to realize that we as New Zealanders could be subject to tsunami arising from any of the certain Pacific subduction zones. And we have to think, what are the worst case scenarios that we need to be prepared for? And I think the earthquake in Japan, the big tsunami that resulted from it, this large seafloor displacement, and the findings of the studies that we've been doing recently, including one that's just been published last week in the journal Science, really tell us that we have to be prepared for possibly larger tsunami than we had previously thought we were likely to. So it sort of says, be careful, you know, up the ante a little. Really, really prepare for a worst case scenario.
So it's a bit of a wake up call, because I mean, as far as tsunamis are concerned, we're a bit lackadaisical about it in terms of civil defence warning, aren't we? With, you know, I mean, I live by the coast.
Well, absolutely. No. I mean, there was an earthquake. There was a tsunami warning midway through last week. I was on another field trip down in the Catlins, and civil defence came around because our camp is a couple of metres above sea level and said there's a tsunami warning out. And the actual earthquake, the 2011 one that we went out to drill the fault from, I remember the tsunami warning from that, and it was progressively downscaled, and everyone sort of headed off to the coast to have a look. It's disastrous. I was looking at the tide gauges. These are that look at the actual water levels around the Pacific. The Pacific Ocean, the entire Pacific Ocean, was sloshing around for days as a result of that. And there, even when they took away that tsunami warning, I could still look at tide gauges and some of the islands in the middle of the Pacific and see that there were 50-centimeter rises and falls in sea level occurring there. And we definitely experienced surge-type waves. I live near the coast, and I went to a safe vantage point, having carefully looked at the sort of levels of sloshing that were occurring, so to speak. And I watched the estuary that I live by, the mouth of the estuary. I watched these very long period, huge surges come in and out.
Yeah.
I could see the waves rising up the sandbanks and then going back down. And, you know, I wouldn't have wanted to be at sea level.
No.
You can't 100% predict the coastal response to that water level. It's gonna be very different depending on the coastline itself and the way that the seabed is in that particular area. And I think, yeah, we really underestimate the possibilities from tsunami in New Zealand.
Well,
probably. We probably don't, but as a general population, we do.
The rest of us do, yes. Well, it's fascinating to talk to you, Virginia. I'll let you get back to your students, but thank you very much indeed for your time.